But perhaps we have strayed too far away from the image of St. Jerome in his study, or cell, or cave, as depicted by the artists of the Italian Renaissance. And in any case, it is time we started drawing together the main threads of this investigation. Before we do so, however, there is one point on which I would like to touch. Speaking of the different kinds of knowledge, I said that knowledge of the highest kind was identical with its object. By knowledge of the highest kind I meant, of course, knowledge of ultimate spiritual realities, or, in other words, knowledge of nirvana, or knowledge of enlightenment, which is identical with its object, because at this level of reality, the difference between subject and object no longer obtains. But all knowledge is, in a sense, identical with its object, since otherwise knowledge would in fact be impossible. Thus, when one translates knowledge of one degree into knowledge of another degree, as when one translates knowledge of archetypes into knowledge of ideas or mental objects, one is not only translating the archetypes as, so to speak, objects completely distinct and separate from oneself, one is also translating them as, to some extent, identical with oneself. One is also translating them as, to some extent, identical with oneself. In other words, one is translating what one has experienced on one level of consciousness into terms appropriate to another level of consciousness. One brings what one has experienced on the mountain top down into the valley. Or, to change the metaphor, one brings what one has experienced in the depths up to the surface, from darkness to light. It is in this bringing down or bringing up of what one has experienced on the heights or in the depths of one's own being, and giving it concrete form, as St. Jerome does when he produces the Vulgate, that the essence of creativity consists. St. Jerome is therefore not only the translator and interpreter, but also the creator and artist. And because he is the creator and artist, he is the individual, that is to say, the true individual. For the corollary of the fact that all knowledge is, in a sense, identical with its object, and that what one translates is one level of one's own being into another, is that all translation is essentially an individual activity, and in a sense, even a solitary activity. It is because the translator is also the individual, as well as the interpreter and the creator, that the artists of the Italian Renaissance, in depicting St. Jerome in his study, depict him as having no companion except the lion, who, in any case, represents his own lower nature. The fact that they depict him in this way is all the more significant that it is at variance with both ecclesiastical tradition and the facts of history. When St. Jerome left Rome and went to live in the Holy Land, he did not go alone, but accompanied by a number of disciples, prominent among whom were a devout Roman matron and her daughter, who, between them, were responsible for the construction of the small monastic establishment in Bethlehem, where St. Jerome eventually settled and where he translated the Bible. It would not have been difficult, therefore, for the artists of the Italian Renaissance to depict St. Jerome with these two ladies, thanks to whose generosity he was able to carry on his work, as well as with the various personal attendants, research assistants, and amanuenses, upon whose services he was likewise dependent. Yet they never did so. Instead, they chose to depict him in a study that, except for a few significant items, such as a red hat, an hourglass, and a human skull, was completely bare. And they chose to depict him alone. From this it is obvious that in depicting the figure of St. Jerome, what they, or perhaps they and their patrons were in fact doing was working, whether consciously or unconsciously, towards the creation of an image of universal significance. What the artists of the Italian Renaissance depict is, therefore, not so much St. Jerome in his study, translating the Bible, as man in the cave of his own heart, where, having subdued his lower nature and separated himself from the social order, he devotes himself to the pursuit of his distinctively human activities. What they depict is man as interpreter and creator, bringing up into consciousness what he has experienced in the depths of his own being and giving it appropriate expression for the benefit of all. What they depict, and what I've tried in this paper to show them as depicting, is man as a spiritual being who, in the shadow of time and death, strives to fathom the mystery of existence.